Okay, let's rock and roll. She follows through. Best is yet to come. I'm going to preach this. It's going to be a two-parter or whatever. I'm not supposed to be here next week, but I am going to be here because of all the things with mom and stuff like that. So, two-part. Let's see how far we get. Then went Boaz up to the gate. The gate. This is kind of like courts in session. This is Old Testament stuff. You remember even David's son Absalom went to the gate or whatever. So this is where mediation and those types of things, judgment was executed in at the gate. All right. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." Now, other people may have different versions of what he said. Somebody else have a different version. Al, your version of the Bible doesn't say, says, "Ho, such a one"?
No. It says, "So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here."
There you go, yeah. So I didn't take the time to figure out what ho such a one come over. So I don't think it was derogatory. So culture, language, those types of things. So you know, be careful taking the scripture in the King James Version and coming up to somebody trying to be friendly, saying, "Ho, such a one, get over here."
What you say?
And he turned aside and sat down. All right, verse 2. And he took 10 men, 10 being the number of ordinal perfection, of the elders of the city, and said, "Sit ye down here." So now, court, jury, witnesses, all in session. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's." All right, so let me make this just a little bit bigger.
So, ho means oh or woe.
Oh, and let me write that down.
Such a one, such in there means a specific person.
So ho means what now?
O-O-H, like oh.
Oh.
Or whoa, like whoa. To a horse.
Hold or hey.
And the one means in the sense of concealment.
Okay.
Someone.
Okay. Got it. Thank
without
you.
Without giving a name.
So Lauren just clarified that so you guys don't get in trouble.
Strong's on the app.
It's like a salutation.
Yes. Well, you got to be careful when you do these salutations from the Old Testament or whatever. Because I was reading the book of Samson one time, and after they figured out his riddle, and he said, "Hey, you know, if you hadn't been messing with my wife or whatever, you know." And so one day I was talking to my wife, and I used the term with her, heifer. That didn't go over real well. So you can't always use Bible terms from back then. So understand what the Spirit meant. Wait, right, there you go. It was Samson, this is the term of endearment. There you go. All right, there you go. All right.
You know,
if
you read the Song of Solomon, they talk about hair like the goat's hair and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you can try that with Muriel if you want to. You may not be going to Moab in your own power, but she might not knock you back there. Okay. All right. So, verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth the parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee and after am afraid. Okay, now I need to see where that's coming from.
Sorry, I left the one on.
Okay. Oh, so yeah, you're
on the phone.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, and he said, I will redeem. So, this is what's happening, and I don't mind sharing my notes with you here on the screen. Here's what's happening. Boaz is fulfilling the law that is written in Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 25 and 26, it talks about the kinsman redeemer, which I believe I covered last week. If not, that scripture is referenced to, if a brother becomes poor and has sold off some things, it was the law in the Old Testament that a near kinsperson or relative, if they were able and willing and free themselves, they could purchase back. And didn't have to wait for the year of Jubilee, which is like 50 years. Mm-hmm. I think the year of Jubilee was 50 years.
It was less than that. Seven.
Is it seven?
Every seven years
of Jubilee? Okay, and then 50, and then the 50-year point is something big. Okay, I digress. All right. So you didn't have to wait for whatever number of years it was. You didn't have to wait for the year of Jubilee. You could be redeemed at any time. Thank you for keeping me straight on that. All right. Al's got that look on his face like he's getting ready to look that up. All right, you do that. I know 50's in there, 7's in there, I think 14's in there as well, and I just kind of stuck to this passage of scripture or whatever, so it's always good to check. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean I'm always right. All right, here you go. All right, so, and if you could find that kinsman, they would buy the land back for you so that you could own it again. That was God's plan for his people. Isn't that awesome? He's not just a God of salvation, but he's a God of reconciliation, redemption, recovery, restoration. Yeah. That's good, man. I'm going through some stuff with my mom. I got my peace back. Got my peace back. Want to hold on to those things or whatever, all right? He's a God of restoration. All right.
You're saying that the Jubilee occurring every seventh year, thus every 50 years.
Every seven Sabbaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every seven Sabbaths. So everybody's right. Seven sevens are 49, and the 50th is, yeah, okay. So thank you, Al. You have supported our position. If that ain't a miracle. All right, so... I'm not worthy. All right. So, Boaz is fulfilling the law. I want you to remember that. He is fulfilling the law. All right? Ding, 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 ding. Just like Jesus said. Okay. Now, I asked myself some questions because you know I like to do this. I want you to notice what Boaz does. Because Boaz is the type of Christ. And whatever Boaz does in the story is what Christ does for us. Or at least that's the plan. Alright? One, he goes to the gate, a place that during that time is like a courtroom. He does that. So he's in court. Two, he operates with authority. Hey, come here, do this. He's like E.F. Hutton, man. You gotta Google that up. When he speaks, people listen, and they obey. He has authority in this arena. Okay? Next, he presents the case on behalf of Naomi, which means he's just turned into a defense attorney. Got it? He's fighting for her. Now, he's fighting for Ruth, but he starts with Naomi first. There's a reason for that, I believe. Now, the other question I ask myself as I'm reading through this, this is how I kind of do stuff. You know, I look at the scripture, I start asking questions. Why this? What's going on here? What's this mean? You know. So I ask the question, how does Naomi even have a case? Both are correct. Mm-hmm. And you can even ask questions even around what Roger and Lauren just said. So, if you look at my bullets here, she left Moab. She comes back again to the promised land. She sold and lost what she had before. She's eligible for someone to get back for her what was lost, and she has a very strong case legally. So let's take it from what Roger said. She's following the law. Under the law, does she have a strong case and qualify? Absolutely. She sold everything through her husband. She doesn't own it anymore. The law says if you can find somebody who's kinfolk that's able and willing to do it, then you have a legal right to petition that. So legally, she's there. Spiritually, she has a super strong case. Do you see it? And this goes back to what Lauren said.
She does if there is a redeemer. If there is no redeemer, she
don't
have no case.
Right. See? You guys want to write that down?
Yeah.
Notice what he said.
Points to the importance.
Right. And does
that have a redeemer in this?
Yeah.
But I want you to hear what Roger just said. God bless you. If there is no redeemer, then legally, she has no grounds. She can't make a petition. Her case is weak.
That's the law and spiritually.
Spiritually,
same thing.
If we don't have a redeemer,
no,
we have no case.
We have no way.
All right. So let's look at this in the natural. You messed me up. She can do anything that she can do everything on her part to qualify. I sold my land, you know, I'm coming to the court, I've done everything I can do on my side, on my own, but law says if you ain't got a redeemer, even though you've done your part, it don't matter. You still lose. Spiritually, you can go to church, you can do that, you can follow the steps, you can do everything that you know to do. If there is no Jesus in the picture, you still lose.
You can't work your way
in. You cannot work your... Boy, man, this boy is messing up my notes. And that's why I can't put any of this stuff on the website, because you guys keep screwing it up. And what did you just say?
Can't work your way in.
Can't work your way in.
You look at so-called religions like Islam. It's you work your way in. I mean, they got it.
Now, this is profound, what he's saying. Because if we have time today to get to it, because I got to leave and pick up my grandson. If we've got time, this is all going to come back into play. Remember what he said. You can't work your way in.
That's true.
This is going to be real good. Okay.
Chuck, let me just say one other thing. When you said he goes to the gate, right to start with.
Yeah.
He does it in the open. It's not...
It's open courtroom. Right.
Underhand.
Yep. It's open. And, oh.
Well, to me, the gate is like a door, and Jesus is the door.
He is the door. But notice what Roger said again. They're from Moab. Oh, you guys are messing me up. I don't know. Davey, they keep messing me up. I don't know if we're going to get through this. Okay, so here's Roger. Stop it.
Go, Roger, go.
If I've got a case in the natural, and I'm going to the court saying, I made a bad decision, I'm broke as a joke, I'm broke. I mean, when you're broke and you want to get an attorney, it's a bankruptcy attorney, are you excited about getting ready to do that?
No.
Why not? You qualify.
It's free. It's free.
So you have to humble yourself, because I'm not running in here telling anybody, hey, I'm broke, I'm like my bankruptcy according to the law. Why would nobody do that?
Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're a poor financial planner. What's going on with you? It's embarrassing. He does it in the open. He's not embarrassed by the person he's defending as others would. He does it in the open. Aren't you glad that Christ loves us the same way? Amen. If Christ is not embarrassed by our past, we need to be set free too. Amen. And that must be the Holy Spirit, because that ain't in my notes. Yeah. Alright. So, Naomi follows the steps. One, she's in Moab. Two, one, she recognizes the need. I need God. Mm-hmm. Picking up the cross. Two, she leaves Moab. Turns from that. Repents. Three, she has new hope by getting again to the promised land. Four, now she can start to be blessed from the overflow that comes from the Spirit, from her daughter, who she helped set up in the first place to get the overflow. Now she's receiving mercy, and she's waiting for God to move step six. She's following the steps, and there is a Redeemer.
She was not led to Moab. I mean, she was led to Moab. It's never too late to return.
Another point. And let's piggyback on what Paul said, which is funny but profound. You can be in the promised land and still find yourself at Moab. So this isn't like, it's like the parable of sower and the sower. You can be in the good soil, and all of a sudden you can find yourself in another soil, quick, fast, and in a hurry. So it's important to understand where you are, which is why you want to pick up your cross every day, because the worst place for Christians to be is to be in Moab and think you're still in the promised land. And I run into them all the time. But she can come back again. Gotta know how to get out of Moab and stay out of Moab. If you find yourself in Moab, I always know, it's kind of like Hansel and Gretel. I leave the breadcrumbs off to the side, so when I get over here into the witch's house, I know how to get the heck back home. Alright. Notice, Ruth is not mentioned. Didn't he say that Ruth, he's going to do this for Ruth? Naomi's case comes up first. Why?
Because she's the higher ranking, for lack of a better word, but she's the...
I understand. She comes before Ruth.
It's kind of like her response.
I'll say she comes first because she was last. I don't know. Like the first, you know, the last
to be
first.
I guess you can say that from a scriptural perspective. Think about it.
She is the last one left in that family.
Well, Ruth is going to be last, but then she's going to be first. Mm-hmm. But think about this. And this is me. This is me. I hope the Holy Spirit is in this. I believe it is. Who's the Jew in this?
Naomi.
Naomi. Who did Christ say he came first for? Because we know salvation is of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So they're God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's been a while, but this is still a feast study. We've just taken a little bit of a side road between these feasts, all right? Because we're in the fourth feast. We're in that gap. We're in that season that's called the church age. So who gets brought in first? The Jews at Mount Sinai. Who gets brought in second on the day of Pentecost? Gentiles. This whole story of Ruth is about Jews and Gentiles. and the Jews are, he comes to the Jews first. Who did Christ come and preach to first? The Jews. When the woman with the sick child came, I'm here for the Jews first. But even the children, even the dogs can get the crumbs. Comes to the Jews first. I just made this observation. Didn't say anything about Ruth right now. He's talking about Naomi's case first. Verse 3. Alright, so he tells Naomi, blah, blah, blah. Redeemer. Boaz can't redeem. Here's something. Boaz can't redeem him because this kinsman's in front of him. He has to check with him first. Stay with me. Boaz has to overcome this obstacle before he can purchase and redeem her. Someone is in front of him, so he has to deal with them first. Stay with me. The kinsman says he's willing, but there's a catch. All right, so I have a question here. Why has this happened? I have no problem with you guys reading those notes there, because it's outlining God's plan for the earth. We're looking at this feast. We wouldn't even be looking at the book of Ruth right now if it wasn't for the feast. And we know that the feast are God's seven step plan. This is part of the plan. And this is not just part. This is part of the plan. The feasts are God's plan for the redemption of the earth. Which means it's what he desires and will do. Alright? Two, if it's God's plan for the earth, for the last several weeks I've been saying, new revelation for me. Well, it's our plan too. The same way he gets dominion in the earth, the same way he gets dominion in us. I figured that out from looking at the parables. And so Ruth's story of redemption is our story. God is in this story when I find my weakness. All right. It also reveals the process of salvation and redemption. Two different steps. Process. I don't only want to be saved, I have a legal right to be redeemed too. Maybe this works better with inmates in prison or whatever, because when they're talking about, ooh, I got a right to do this, that, and the other, I ain't going to be just sitting around, I'm going to exercise all my rights. We need to be doing that. We need to be like inmates that want to be set free. Yeah. And I want everything. Look at the guy back there. Look at the young guy back there with the pardons and parole. You know exactly what those rights are. Wait a minute. You mean I can apply? Wait a minute. I ain't got to fulfill my whole sentence. I can be saved and I can get some time back? I bet you got to think like an inmate. All right, so here we go. All right. Okay. And it's sort of a parable. So I'm learning things as I'm looking at this story, because it's kind of like a story for me. And this should be our story. Okay, application for today. Christ serves in the role as our kinsman redeemer. We already talked about that because you guys are so sharp and you're so into it. And Roger's all on top of it and Lauren's backing him up or whatever. And even Al came up with something good and Paul's got this, I want to go to Moab, I want to go to Moab. You know, so always into it or whatever. God bless you, brother. Amen. If that don't preach, I'm gonna, if that doesn't preach, that's powerful right there, man. Yeah. How will you stop it? Our hope is in the Redeemer. I looked at Proverbs 23:11, and one of my references chapters. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. So Christ is our advocate. He fights for us with authority in the courtroom before a holy judge. Man, I need a lawyer like that. He is our great intercessor.
Amen. I need him in there fighting for me
Every day. Amen. I need that peace every day. And that peace doesn't come until I recognize he's fighting for me. And I don't know that he's fighting for me until I know that I'm extending mercy to others. And I'm not going to be extending mercy to others unless I'm being led by the Spirit. And I'm not going to have the Holy Spirit unless I have that hope in Christ in it. And I'm not going to have the hope in Christ unless I turn away from myself. And I ain't going to even get there unless I recognize I need him in the first place. All right. Again, everything he's doing for Naomi and Ruth, he is doing for you and I. Ain't that good? Follow the steps. All right. Then said Boaz, fine. What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. I love it. He's playing Spain. He started leading out with a couple of trumpets, and all of a sudden they say, oh, bam, I'm Trump tiger.
They don't know about Spain.
Yeah, we do.
You don't know.
He's like a dog.
Oh, we're going to have a Spain party in here. We're going to have a Spain party. Here we go. Roger's looking like, well, bring it.
That brain works. That brain works different.
Hey, as long as you don't stick cards on the forehead, it's like, let's keep going, right? Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead in his inheritance. Now he's making reference to Deuteronomy 25, another part of the law, verse 5 to 10, which says, if your brother dies and is childless, the widow, the brother, or the relative has to go and redeem that person by marrying her so that he can raise children so the name of the brother does not fall out of inheritance.
That was Deuteronomy what then?
Deuteronomy 25, 5, and 10. It's on the screen.
I can't see it either.
Oh, geez, no.
That's funny that it's Ruth 5 through 8 and Deuteronomy 5 through 10. Same numbers.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Right.
That's yep. Just weird.
That's just God. All right. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Can't do it. There you go. Hey, I already got one in the house. I don't need two. Woo! There you go. Lest I mar my own inheritance. So I did a little research on this, and that's what, because if he buys back the land, it's really not his land. And whatever child is brought up in that relationship between the new kinsman and Ruth, the inheritance in that land goes to that child. So he never can hold on to that. Now, and so there's a dump, I might have it in my notes, I'm not sure, but there's a bunch of different reasons why he's saying, ooh, no, that messed me. That'll mess up what I got. Now I got to share it with somebody else. Now I got this blended family thing going on here. No, can't be bringing any adoption. But now you can see how the Old Testament and New Testament are coming in together, because now Boaz doesn't have a problem with adopting the Gentiles into the family, and they get a full inheritance as well. Whoa. Now, all those scriptures should start to be coming back. We get the inheritance of Abraham. How do we get the inheritance of Abraham? Ooh, through our Redeemer. We get great. Now you see what Paul is talking about in Romans. When we are grafted in, alright? And so now we can go back and say, we might feel like we're second class citizens or whatever, but now Tracy's little statement comes back and says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Ooh! Here we are.
Sure. To me, it looks like this speaks to me as the Father and the Son. The Father can't redeem us because he can't abide sin.
Okay.
And his inheritance all goes to Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. But I can see it.
It just kind of strikes me. Yeah.
I can see some brothers there. I gotta go. But let me leave you with something. We'll finish this up next week. Because there's not a whole lot here. So let me finish this, and then I'll give you something to think about. All right. Now, he says, "Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." So the first kinsman, who's in front of Boaz, says, "I can't do it." Now, this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and changing, and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and it was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. Now, if you read Deuteronomy 25:5-10, it says if the near kinsman doesn't want to do it, then he takes off his shoe, and then the widow spits in his face, and then they talk about it for the rest of his life. The man with the loose shoe. But in this instance, there's no derogatory sense for this particular near kinsman, and we may see why. Yes, Carolyn.
Roger made me think of another parallel where that John the Baptist was Jesus' kinsman, but he couldn't redeem us, but he could set up the way for Jesus.
It's the forerunner. Mm-hmm. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. I got to get ready and go, but hold on to that. Now, think about this. Boaz has somebody who came before him, and he has to deal with them first, legally, before he can redeem her. If Jesus is a type of Boaz, if Boaz is the type of Jesus, and Roger really messed you guys up, he gets 2 stars. If Jesus is our Redeemer, and this story is a parable to in the natural explain what's going on in the spiritual, then something or someone must have come before Jesus, and Jesus has to deal with that before he can redeem us. Maybe close. What came before Christ? What did Satan? But thank you for your participation. And Roger told you already. Roger said, if no redeemer, no case. And you can't work your way in. What?
What? The law. It couldn't fulfill the law.
Yes.
There was no way they could fulfill the law, so they had to have Jesus come to fulfill the law.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
The law
came
before Christ. Christ had to deal with the law, because the law cannot save and redeem you. The law can only tell you that you need a redeemer, which is what John the Baptist did.
Go, Carolyn.
Which is why when Roger said you can't work your way in, it's pricked in my brain because I didn't have it in my notes, but I know that the Old Testament Jews, and the reason why they were the first and now the last, is because they're still trying to obey the law. They're still trying to have salvation through the law. And even though they have Yeshua Christ, they don't see him as the Redeemer because they're still trying to do the law.
And you can't.
And you can't. But he couldn't do it until he fulfilled the law. Do you see how the story is playing out throughout the scriptures? All of the Bible is all about this story of Ruth, because this story of Ruth is about our great Redeemer. Let me just do this real quick, because I've been doing this. I've been at conferences. I've been dropping this word down. These people have not heard this word come across like this. And every time I get to a point like this, I go, boom.
Love it.
This thing has got scratches and stuff like that, man, on it. It's just awesome. All right. I got to go pick up my grandson. We got baptisms today. I thank you so much for your prayers. Tracy, you look great. You got a smile on your face. God has already delivered. She's in the same mode, I believe, if she's followed those steps or whatever, and I think she has. Because you got to be humble to share all of that.
Yeah.
I think she's at step six.
Six.
And I think she got another computer on, too.
Well, I'm still on my phone.
All right. Waiting for Boaz, Christ Yeshua, to fight and defend her on her behalf.
And while she waits, she'll get blessed on purpose.
And while she waits, she'll get blessed on purpose.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Al, mm-hmm. I was going to ask Roger to pray for us, because he's just been all on this thing or whatever. But your wife is looking beautiful over there, your hair down, looking so fly, so deaf or whatever. So you must have took good care of.
I was great.
Stay humble. Okay. Stay humble, brother.
I was great.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Don't tell us to keep your sister here.
Oh! You went. Yeah.
He just went to Abraham.
He just went to Abraham. My brother Al, Al has been with me when we had nothing, and now we've got like 9 people on Zoom. We got everybody here. The word is going forth with power.
Yes.
And it seems like it's just getting better and better. It's not me. You guys are on top of it. It's God awesome. This is how this story comes. Whoever knew that Ruth has got the gospel like this, God knows exactly what he's doing. And everybody that runs out here ought to be encouraged and know, just follow the steps. He's got to bless you on purpose. My brother Al, let's celebrate this by you bringing this to leading us out today in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, King,